Well, ethics is wisdom about what? Human things, right? Ethics is about the first cause of all human things, huh? Namely happiness, the end, the goal of all human things, huh? So you could say that ethics is wisdom in some way, right? It's a wisdom about human things, right? And you could say that natural philosophy is a kind of wisdom, because it's a wisdom about natural things. You have to qualify it, though, right? But because first philosophy is about all things and about the first cause, then it's called simply what? Wisdom, right? And you'll see in the metaphysics, Aristotle sometimes will call it simply philosophy, okay, or simply wisdom. But a fortiori, right, sacred doctrine is wisdom in that sense, because it's even more about God, right, than first philosophy is. Because we find out in the fourth book of first philosophy that the subject of first philosophy is being and one. And God is only the, what, end or goal. But here, in sacred teaching, sacred doctrine, God is the very subject of sacred doctrine, right? But furthermore, we know things about God through revelation, things that God alone knows about himself, right? Which the philosopher will not know about God. So I've read Aristotle a lot, but I don't see any evidence that he knew about the Trinity. And even though he sometimes said we use the number three to praise God with, but he didn't seem to have any knowledge of the Trinity, huh? Or the incarnation for that matter. Now, how does he reply to these objections? Kind of interesting, huh? He says, to the first, it ought to be said that sacred teaching does not suppose its beginnings from some human science, right? Because that would make it what? Inferior to that human science, right? Mm. So it's not drawing its beginnings from any human knowledge. So it doesn't put it underneath any other human knowledge. But rather from the divine science, huh? The divine knowledge. Which, of course, is the what? Summa sapiens, the highest wisdom. So it takes its what? Beginnings for the divine science, by which, right, all our knowledge is ordered, right? As by a highest what? Wisdom, right? So he's saying, you know, hey, the knowledge of God is the summa sapiens here, right? And this sacred doctrine is derived from that, right? So it's closer to that, which is the summa, the highest, the greatest wisdom, right? From which all human knowledge in some way is directed, right? So obviously this knowledge has more the character of wisdom than any other human knowledge, huh? It doesn't have more the character of wisdom than the summa sapientia that God has, but it does more than what? Any other one. Okay? Now, back to the second objection there, right? What about proving the principles of the other sciences, huh? He says that the beginnings of the other sciences are either known through themselves, right, and are not able to be proven, right, or they are proven in some other science through some natural reason. But is proper to the knowledge of this science, which is through revelation, or is proper to this knowledge or science, right, that it be through revelation. Not, however, that it be through what? Natural reason. And therefore it does not pertain to it to prove the beginnings of the other sciences, right? But only to what? Judge about them. For whatever in the other sciences is found repugnant to the truth of this science is whole be condemned as what? False. Okay. We saw that already in Vatican I. Okay. Whence it is said in the second epistle to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 4th following verses, destroying councils, right? And every altitude extolling itself against the what? Knowledge of God. Huh? Okay. So he's saying it doesn't prove the beginnings of the other sciences, because that's proven by some natural reason, right? Mm-hmm. But it does have a what? Jurisdiction over them, right? Because it judges them, right? And it considers them as whether they are in harmony with this revelation or not, right? Okay? So in that sense, it's has a character of wisdom. Now, the third objection was based upon, hey, wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are what? Breathed into us, right? Okay. Well, here Thomas is going to say, well, this is a different wisdom than that. Huh? He's going to distinguish between the wisdom that's acquired by study and the wisdom that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Huh? He's going to say something here about what the difference is. In the Secunda, the Summa there, when he takes up the virtues in detail, right, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you may recall how he takes up faith, hope, and charity, and then the four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance, and he considers other virtues, if there are, by their connection with one of these seven main ones. Huh? And he also takes up the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are corresponding to these. Well, the gift of the Holy Spirit called wisdom is taken up with what virtue?
Charity.
With charity, yeah. Yeah. Not with faith, right? But with what? Charity, right? And that's relevant to what he's going to be saying here in this reply to the third one. Huh? To the third, it ought to be said that since judgment, huh? Now what is judgment, by the way? What's the definition of judgment? Huh? When philosophy we'll say judgment is the separation of the true from the false. And sometimes you say also the good from the bad, right? In philosophy we say by some beginning in our knowledge, right? Okay. To some beginning or some measure whereby we separate the true from the false and the good from the what? Bad, huh? Okay. So in simple theory and geometry, right? If these angles are equal, how do you judge that these two must be true and that they can be unequal is false, right? How do you separate those two, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you know the theorem, what Euclid does is say that if one of these sides is longer than the other, like say this is longer than this one here, you could cut off from the base here a line equal to what? That over there. And then you could draw a line over to this corner like that. And now, you've got two triangles, right? By your own admissions, that have an equal angle, right? And since this side is equal to that, and this side is common, two triangles contained by what? Having an equal angle contained by equal sides. Therefore, this triangle, the lesser one, is equal to the greater one, right? A whole is bigger than a part, right? Is it? So by that beginning in our knowledge that the whole is more than a part, I say it's false, right? That those can be unequal, right? And prove that they must be, what, equal, huh? Okay?
That's